turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, then Luke in the New Testament. Chapter 1, we have been journeying in the Gospel according to Luke this year, looking at what it's like to live the Jesus-shaped life, to live a life shaped by the Gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ for every day of life and for the whole of life, for every aspect of human life and our lives. And during Advent and Christmas, we are coming back to the birth narratives of Jesus. And one of the things I've pointed out is the way there is so much singing that goes on in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is the first Christian poet. And these songs are so beautiful in their words. And over the generations, many of these songs have been turned into music as well. Later on in the service, we will hear one of the others of them. This morning, we will be looking at Mary's song, which is known in the history of the church as the Magnificat. I did hear from someone last week who knew of a person who had a 25-pound cat, and the cat's name was the Magnificat. Well, I'd say 25 pounds, good heavens. This is not the same thing as a cat. This is a song, the Magnificat, which means to magnify. And it comes from the first words of Mary's beautiful song of praise after she has heard a song of praise from Elizabeth, which we covered last week. Let's listen carefully to the Word of God, beginning with chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned to her own home in Nazareth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. O Lord, we come once again humbly before you and eager and hungry to receive your word for life, for your word is life itself. Where else would we go, Lord Jesus, but to you to hear truth and all that is good, words directly from God. Bless them by the power of your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. All of these poems in the Gospel according to Luke, which turned into songs, draw us into the truth of the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. The truth that God became a human being so that God could save us from our sin, and also so that God could restore all of creation, everything, into its right relationship with God. And the only way I think we can really get into the depth of what that means is through song and through music. It just goes deeply into us. That's why we sing so much in the Christian faith. That's why last week was so glorious. It was both spoken word in the words of Scripture and also poetry, art, and song. Last week, Elizabeth's song, the very first one in the songs of Luke, was a song of recognition, of recognizing, not last week, 2 weeks ago, but the first one, was a song of recognizing God's voice through the voice of Mary. Not Mary herself, but what Mary bore, Jesus. As I said 2 weeks ago, Jesus eventually put it this way, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." Because God's voice in Christ resonates with us. It sinks all the way into our being, and we know that it is truth. Elizabeth's song was also a song about faith and how Mary had taken God at his word. Unlike Eve in the garden, who hadn't taken God at what God had said, Mary heard the message from the angel and said, "May it be to me according to your word." She accepted it. She received it. And Elizabeth was praising God for Mary's faith. And then we come to Mary's song. And what is Mary's song about as it relates to the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ? And here's what it is, I think. It is about the difference that the Savior and the Lord Jesus makes in human life. Here's what Mary sings. "The Lord, the Mighty One, has scattered the proud. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the powerful away empty." And here's the thing I want to point out about the essence of what she says in that part of her song. It's all in the past tense, the finished past tense verbal sense of each of those words. In the English, if you were to read the King James Version, it will say, "Thou hast holpen thy people Israel." That's the past tense of help. Don't try that with your friends or greet someone on the street. "God hath holpen me this week." You know, they'll look at you funny. What it means is, here's what it means. This is amazing. By the way, in many ways, God had not done any of those things yet. And yet Mary sings about them as if they are already done, as if they are in the past. Here's the point with God's grace in Jesus Christ. What God will do in Jesus Christ in the future is so certain that we can treat it today as though it's already done. Let me repeat that. What Mary is actually saying is that what God will do through Jesus Christ in the future is so certain that today we can treat it as though it's already finished and done. And that underscores the difference, the actual difference that Jesus Christ makes in human life today. Some people around us today say that Jesus Christ doesn't make any difference, that Christmas is only a vague hope that Jesus came in order to show us the way to live, that he's a good example to follow, that he's a great moral teacher who taught all kinds of good things, but that's about it. But none of this is correct, according to Mary's song. What she is saying is that the Messiah that she is bearing through pregnancy is going to change everything over history so much that we will be able to count on it as though it's already done. Jesus himself, by the way, said that he did come to make an entire difference in human life. Jesus said, "I am the way to God." And by the way, other religious teachers in history have said, "This is the way to God. Follow that as best you can." Jesus said, "No, I'm it. I'm not pointing out the way. I am the way." Jesus said, "Believe in me." In other words, Jesus does bring God's work of salvation into the world and into personal human experience. He makes a difference in the life of the world and in the lives of individual people. And this morning, I just want to let Mary's song point out the differences that Jesus makes. First, Jesus makes a spiritual difference. We live in a time when spiritual matters have been set aside in very curious ways. When people say that spiritual things basically are a matter of personal preference or interest. They are only for one's private life, like a hobby, like fishing or golf. If you're into that, fine. If you're not into that, fine. And then we all are spiritual in one way or the other. It doesn't really matter what kind of spirituality you practice as long as you just do something. But furthermore, we also live in a time in which what we can measure, what we can taste, what we can see, what we can write down in a formula, we treat those things as real. But spiritual things, which can't be measured, they can't always be defined, are therefore not important. That's the context in which we live. But this gospel that Mary is singing this morning for us means that Jesus, being born of a virgin, comes into the world to reveal God, to redeem the lost. And that's going to change everything for all time. What this means is that this baby being born from Mary, what this means is that the spiritual is just as real as the physical. And that he is the source of all of life. Jesus comes as God the Savior in order to straighten out all spiritual confusions. He comes in order that we might be reconnected with God through faith in Jesus. And then Jesus connects us himself with the source of life and makes all the difference in the world. Jesus makes a spiritual difference. But Jesus also makes a moral difference in the world. Yes, Jesus was one of the great moral teachers in human history, but he taught something very unique. He taught that through faith in him, he would give us, through participating with him in that faith, the goodness or the righteousness of God. We cannot earn it no matter what we do, Jesus said. That's right, but he can earn it for us. And then as we live in him, we participate in his righteousness. This song speaks of this. It says that he has cast down the proud. Those who believe that they are self-sufficient and look down on other people who seem not to be as self-sufficient. The song means that all people who encounter Jesus Christ will have their self-centeredness stripped away from them because of their relationship with him. Jesus brings into the world and into our experience a clear sense of what is right and what is wrong. He sharpens the conscience of individual people and of the world itself. Jesus brings a new moral life into the life of each one that receives him by faith. He is the source of all that is good. He doesn't tell us later on to shape up and be better people. He makes us into better people by his grace. Jesus makes a moral difference in the world. And Jesus makes a social difference in the world. This is very clear in this song. Christ's coming into the world puts an end to all labels and all prestige. All social ranks and all separations are to be gone from the time that Jesus came into the world until he returns, and he is still working through us to dismantle them. And I just want to speak very directly this morning to one we know is still there, and Jesus is working on it. It's the social problem of racism. This has always been there. And it has been much in the news in the last year to a year and a half. But it's been a part of our experience as human beings for the entirety of human history. We could name other social ills, but let's just focus on this morning. And let's point out something that we know, but we need to be reminded of. This is horrible. It's degrading. And what this passage tells us is that apart from salvation in Jesus Christ, it's never going to go away. What difference does Jesus Christ make in the world, we may be asked? Well, we can say he is at work to eradicate all false barriers that human beings erect to keep themselves safe, to make themselves feel better about themselves at the expense of another or another group. Jesus isn't finished yet, but he makes that difference in the world. So for believers at the very least, but for the cultures where we live, whether it's a microculture or a larger one, gone is snobbery based on position or wealth or race or anything else. Jesus challenges all of that every day. And he brings with him Jesus brings with him a totally different human society. It's the society of heaven, and Jesus had a name for that. It's called the kingdom of God. Jesus makes a huge social difference in the world. And while we're at it, let's look at another one. Jesus makes an economic difference. This song speaks of that directly. Jesus came to affirm and reestablish a system of stewardship economics in which people know and live out the truth that God is the rightful owner of all things and all human beings are merely caretakers of it on God's behalf. Jesus is Lord. Means a whole lot of things that we seldom mention. Not just that he is the Lord for us, but he's the Lord of heaven and earth. It belongs to him, and we are to take care of all of it for him, which means personal management as well as good stewardship and management of all other resources. The way Jesus preached, the way Jesus eventually died, the way Jesus was raised again from the dead means that all human beings are to have a fair chance to make a decent living in which no one group of people has to suffer the degradation of poverty or hunger because of the unfairness of another group. And Jesus isn't finished with this yet. There are a lot of debates about the best way to bring that about. But for Christians, there is no debate about whether or not that's good to bring about. And it happens at an individual as well as a larger culture. And I love this story. This is from the late 1800s, right before the turn into the 20th century, early 1900s. There was a huge movement of the gospel taking root in Wales. These were called the Welsh Revivals. It had a big impact on America as well. It was largely a Presbyterian thing, by the way. And one miner who had responded to the call of the gospel in his heart and whose life had been transformed through Jesus Christ was being taunted by his friends at the mine one day. And they said, "Do you really believe Jesus can change water into wine? I mean, come on, guy. Come on, dude. You really believe that?" And he said, "Well, let me put it this way. If it says he changed water into wine, I'm willing to accept that. But I know that in my home, he turned wine into furniture. Because I quit wasting my life on some things I'd been addicted to. And then I began to care for my family, and things began to change." Well, that's at an individual level. Mary sings it for us. And she makes it larger than just the individual. She says, "He has filled the hungry with good things." And there are all kinds of hunger. There's emotional hunger, love hunger, spiritual hunger, and then there's real hunger. Which one does she sing of here? All of the above. Jesus makes this kind of economic difference. And while I'm at it, I just want to plug a course we're offering in the winter. It begins in January, because it'll help us look at what we can do about poverty issues in our own community. It's called The Poverty Cure. Poverty Inc. was an introduction to it. We showed that movie. Many of you went. There's a 5-week course that talks about practical steps that God's people can take to actually cure poverty where you live. This church and another Presbyterian church took 34 villages in a part of Africa that had been living in poverty and invested ourselves over a 15-year investment of time and money and relationships. And all 34 villages in that part of Senegal were lifted out of poverty into a way of living that has completely transformed all communities to such an extent that in the streets of Dakar, the biggest city in that part of West Africa, people will talk about the villages where this church invested yourselves. There's more yet to do. And they say, "Ah, yes, the young men are moving back to the market town of Baba Garage because there is more work there for them than there is here in the city." Here's the point. It's what Jesus came to do, along with everything else. But he didn't leave that out. This is why we constantly say here, the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ is for all of life. Jesus came not only to save our soul, but to save our whole. W-H-O-L-E. The whole of us. The whole of life. It's why Jesus came. That's a difference that Jesus makes. And then let's just say that Mary also sings, especially at the beginning of the song, about how Jesus makes a personal difference. Sometimes we can get so focused on the big issues when we read a passage of Scripture that we forget the personal impact of the gift of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Mary begins this song saying, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." For the world, yes, but also for Mary. For Mary, individually, the Messiah has come. For you and me, individually, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Messiah comes. He comes to do great things. This is a song about the differences that Jesus Christ makes as Messiah in human life. I just want to end with this. Like all of us, I find myself faced with various temptations, but there's one we all face in particular. It's the temptation to believe. And it's a temptation to believe wrongly. It's a temptation to believe that the gospel and the promises of God in Jesus Christ aren't real and won't really happen. They're just aspirational. That maybe the bad guys are going to win in the end. That maybe really good, just good, isn't going to emerge. What Mary sings is that it's real now. Jesus Christ is present and is at work in the world to make all things new, to be the Savior today, to you and for you and to me and for the life of the world. He is alive. He is the Savior. And that's why maybe the best way we can really hear the truth of it is through the songs of Christmas and through prayer. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the difference that you have made, are making now, and will make in the life of Jesus Christ and through his life for the life of the world. Help us to respond to it with boldness and with eagerness to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.